Take your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Galatians. This happens to be one of the great nights. We seem to have quite a few of those in the way ministry at the headquarters. But this happens to be one of those nights for which many of our people wait year after year because of some of the great truths that God has allowed us to see in the years past from the greatness of His Word. All of us here in the auditorium tonight, as well as those people, I trust, who are listening by radio, and all of our people who will be receiving the tapes from this particular ministry and session tonight, know and believe that the Bible is the Word of God, that it is the answer to the crying need of every believer. Today, there is an abundance of teaching regarding the shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and its accomplishment for the believer. But by comparison, there is little teaching today regarding the broken body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and its significance for the believer. You will all recall that in Malachi 3:6, God said, "For I am the Lord, I change not." What God was, He is. What He did, He does. What He said, He says. Because He is the same God today as He was to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and has been to all of His people down through the years. The fruitfulness of what God accomplished in Christ Jesus for us as believers depends to a marked degree on whether we as believers desire deliverance from sin and sickness, or if we simply want a rationalization of excuses for sin and sickness. Multitudes of Christian believers scattered across the world today still believe that it's God's will for people to be sick. Yet by the same token, they cry loudly against it ever being God's will for people to sin. They believe that God is the author of sickness and disease, and they proclaim loudly that sickness basically is only a dis-ease. Sickness is more than a dis-ease. It is either death in part or in total. I wonder how believers calling themselves Christians are ever capable of reconciling the Word of God with such a testimony. When I look at the Word of God, for instance, in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, where it says, "God is light, and in Him is no darkness." How can God be the author of sickness? How can He be the author of sin and disease if God is light and in Him is no darkness? And any of us who have ever been sick, we know that sickness is more than just a disease. We know that it is something that makes us less than what God really wanted us to be. Tonight, for a period of time, I want to give you some word pictures from the Word as to what God in Christ accomplished for every believer. In Galatians chapter 3, in verse 13, is a verse of Scripture which should become most knowledgeable to all of us who are questing in the integrity and the accuracy of God's Word. Christ hath, past tense, redeemed, past tense, us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Christ hath redeemed us. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if Christ has redeemed us, then as far as God is concerned, we're redeemed. If I do not manifest it, I am still redeemed. Because what God did does not depend upon my feelings. It depends upon the reality of the presence and the power of God, of that which He wrought in Christ Jesus. The feelings will come and go, but that word of God liveth and abideth forever. And when He declares that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, then every curse that's under that law, we have to be redeemed from, even if we never manifest it, in the will of God, in the work of God, in Christ Jesus, we are redeemed, and it is our opportunity to learn that word and to so gel it within our lives, to so effervescingly endeavor to make it a living reality that these things come into concretion in our day-by-day living according to His revealed word. I want to take you now to Deuteronomy, and I want to read you from the 28th chapter some of these great truths that I like to be dealing with tonight to set before you and all of God's people the greatness of God's word for this our wonderful night together. It is really the 15th verse of the 28th chapter where I would like to begin. But in order to put this whole thing together and make it living and real for everybody, even people who are listening who perhaps do not have a Bible at their in their hands, I begin with verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all His commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord. The Lord shall establish thee and holy people unto Himself, as He hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in His ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, and in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee His good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in His season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if thou shalt hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. But, in contrast, it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all His commandments and His statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kine and the flocks and of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexing, and rebuke in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee, until He have consumed thee from off the land whither thou goest possessed. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, with a fever, with an inflammation, with an extreme burning, and with the sword, and with blasting, and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish, and thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. The Lord shall make thee the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and shalt be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. And thy carcass shall be meat on all fowls of the air and on the beasts of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, with the hemorrhoids, and with the scab, and with the itch whereof thou canst not be healed. The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. And thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways. And thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build an house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shalt not gather the grapes thereof. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face, and shall not be restored to thee. Thy sheep shall be given unto thine enemies, and thou shalt have none to rescue them. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in thine hand. The fruit of thy land and all thy labors shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed away, so that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. The Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed, from the sole of thy foot unto the top of thy head. The Lord shall bring thee and thy king, which thou shalt set over thee, unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known. And there shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone. And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb and a byword among all nations whither the Lord shall lead thee. Thou shalt carry much seed out in the field, and shalt gather but little in. For the locust shall consume it. Thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them, but shalt neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worms shall eat them. Thou shalt have olive trees throughout all thy coasts, but thou shalt not anoint thyself with the oil, for thine olive shall cast his fruit. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. All thy trees and fruit of thy land shall the locust consume. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart, for the abundance of all things, therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from afar, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand. A nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. And he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle and the fruit of thy land until thou be destroyed, which also shall not leave thee either corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of thy kine, or flocks of thy sheep, until he have destroyed thee. And he shall beseech thee in all thy gates, until thy high and fenced walls come down, wherein thou trustest, throughout all thy land. And he shall beseech thee in all thy gates throughout all thy land, which the Lord thy God hath given thee. And thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body, the flesh of thy sons and of thy daughters, which the Lord thy God hath given thee, in the siege and in the straitness wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee. So that the man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eyes shall be evil toward his brother, and toward the wife of his bosom, and toward the remnant of his children which he shall eat. So that he will not give to any of them of the flesh of his children whom he shall eat, because he has nothing left him in the siege and in the straitness wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee in all thy gates. The tender and delicate woman among you, which would not have ventured to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness. Her eye shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom, and toward her son, and toward her daughter, and toward her young one that cometh out from between her feet, and toward her children which she shall bear. For she shall eat them for want of all things secretly in the siege and straitness wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee in thy gates. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed even great plagues, and of a long continuance, and sore sickness, and of long countenance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Also every sickness and every plague, which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. What a tremendous record from God's word. And in many respects, how timely and how it would speak to our day and our time. Perhaps we need to just clarify once again that when it says that God brings it on them, it is simply because of the first part of the chapter where we read where God set the law to keep his commandments. And you will notice that the one great truth he gave to them in verse 14, thou shalt not go aside from any of those commandments, from any of the words which I command thee this day, either to the right hand or to the left. Just stay put, he said, on my word. And basically, because the moment you turn to the right or the left and get off of God's word, you go after other gods to serve them. And the first commandment that God ever gave was that we were to love God and have no other gods before him. For I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. He had set this law. And when the people began to break that law, they broke themselves upon God's law. And all of that record from verse 15 on is the record of the curse upon the people who broke the law of God. And yet in Galatians 3 it said that Christ hath, past tense, redeemed us, past tense, from the curse of what? The law. If we are redeemed, then we're what? What a glorious walk this should be for the Christian. What a declaration of boldness. What a declaration of the greatness of what God in Christ. We as Christian believers ought to manifest across our nation, in our states, in our communities, wherever we live. He hath redeemed us. What a tremendous truth we find in the book of Psalms. I'd like for you to turn to the book of Psalms. Psalm 105. This record that we just read from Deuteronomy is a record that you can see for yourself that the vast majority of the curse was sickness, was disease. And from those things, Christ redeemed us. But those children of Israel, as long as they obeyed God's command, they were a tremendous people. Between 2.5 and 3 million of them wandered in the wilderness under the most adverse conditions. And as I have said time and time again, without Saratan, without any of these other things that enable us to have 35% less cavities, without all of these things that we feel today we need, they did not have. And yet, as the psalm said in Psalm 105, that they wandered for 20 years, and then this wonderful record, listen to verse 37. Psalm 105, verse 37. He brought them forth out of Egypt, that is, with silver and gold. And there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Not one feeble person among all of those 2.5 to 3 million. And the record in the Word of God is that they wandered for 20 years in the wilderness. Not one person was ever sick. Ladies and gentlemen, When I read that kind of word from God's word, see what I read from Deuteronomy, realizing what I read from Galatians, what a tremendous God He is. And since He is the Lord who does not change, He has to be the same way today as He was then. Then it becomes our privilege and our joy to find out exactly what did God establish at that time and what is placed for us as believers that we could walk before God without one feeble knee among us. I'd like for you to turn to Exodus. Exodus chapter 2. God raised up a man who was 80 years old before he began his life's work. His name was Moses. And the record in verse 23 of Exodus 2 says, "And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob, and God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them because God had made a covenant. That which God has promised, He's not only able, but He is willing to perform. And when the people turned to Him in the bondage in Egypt, and they cried to the true God, then God heard their cry, and He raised up a man by the name of Moses, who was 80 years old, and it was he to whom God gave the responsibility of leading them out of Egypt toward the promised land." In Exodus chapter 3, in verse 10, He says, "Come now therefore, and I will send thee, Moses, unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." In chapter 12 of Exodus, chapter 12 of Exodus, in verse 6. Well, we better begin with verse 3. "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th month, day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. He shall take it out from the sheep and from the goats, and ye shall keep it unto the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly, the whole congregation, the whole church of Israel shall kill it in the evening." Verse 7. "And they shall take of the blood of that lamb, and strike it on the two side posts, and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and on leavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, with the pertinence thereof, and ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire." Verse 11. "And thus shall ye eat it." Listen to this. "Ye shall eat it with your loins," what? "Girded. Shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." It's the Lord's Passover. God had said He was going to send Moses to Pharaoh to lead His children out of Israel, where they had been enslaved for almost 400 years. When the children of Israel cried to God, God heard their cry. He sent a man to lead them out of that captivity. And He told them exactly what to do. He told them to get a lamb. Told them to kill that lamb. And to take the blood, sprinkle it on the two side posts and the upper post of the door. And then He told them to eat the flesh of the lamb. Ladies and gentlemen, the eating of the flesh of the lamb, you could say, well, that would satisfy their hunger. But He didn't feed it to them because they were hungry. And it's really silly. As a matter of fact, it's almost stupid when you think of God Almighty saying to them, I want you to take the blood of the Lamb and sprinkle it on the side posts and on the upper posts of the door. What good is it? Well, I'll tell you what good it is. It's the word of the Lord. That's what makes it good. Because the Lord said, do this. And I suppose the people had been in enslavement so long, they decided they might as well do it. For the word of God says they did. In this lamb, you have two things represented. You have the flesh of the lamb, and you have the blood of the lamb. Both the blood and the flesh are equally important in this record to the children of Israel. People, if God under the law can take 3 million or approximately 3 million people and for 20 years have them to wander under the most adverse conditions in a desert land with no sickness and no disease, if God did that under law, certainly under grace, God could take 2.5 or 3 million and wander under the most adverse conditions for more than 20 years. Believing is acting upon God's promise. God said, take this lamb, sprinkle the blood on the doorposts and on the lintels at the top, eat the flesh of the lamb. And it was when they ate that they were healed completely. Not before they ate, but when they ate the flesh of the lamb. The flesh of the lamb was given for their healing. The blood was put on the doorposts and so forth so that it would cover them, that no evil could touch the lives. These words were spoken to the children of Israel by a man named Moses. A man who had formerly killed someone and for 40 years had to leave his people to save his own neck. A man who was slow of speech, who had to have a brother to speak for him. But somehow or other, he was a mighty man of God because he had turned to God and God had blessed him and God had honored the believing of this man called Moses. Yes, I know that these words were spoken by Moses. And I've heard it 1,000 times through the years. If only we had a Moses back. If only we had a Peter back. If only we had a Paul back. What a great day it would be for the church if we had men like that, like Moses, like Peter, like Paul, like John. We have Moses. We have the prophet. We have the word of God. And any man of God today who speaks God's word is as much a man of God as Moses was. The word is as much God's word today as it was when Moses spoke it, as long as it's the word. This is why, note verse 11 again. Thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, shoes on your feet, staff in your hand. Eat it in haste because it's what? The Lord's Passover. What a tremendous record. And down through the years, people have tried to tell me that the Last Supper Jesus ate was the Passover. The Bible says they sat down, they ate it. This one here, he said, stand up. No sitting down. Why? Because they always ate the Passover standing up. They were getting ready to flee before the children of Egypt. The children of Israel were getting ready to flee before the armies of Pharaoh. And so God said, this night, you sprinkle the blood over, you eat the flesh of the lamb, you stand up, you've got your shoes on your feet, you've got your loins girded, you've got your staff in your hand, you're ready to move out. And they moved out. And again, ladies and gentlemen, 20 years, not one feeble knee among the entire bunch. Because of two great things. Number one, the flesh of the lamb which they ate. And when they ate it, with a capital W, capital H, capital E, capital M, when they ate it with believing that what God had said God had meant, God reckoned wholeness to their physical bodies, and for 20 years they wandered in the wilderness without one feeble knee, and they got out of Egypt because of the covering of the blood which had been sprinkled on the doorposts and on the lintels. This is the Lord's Passover. Can you remember that? Look at 1 Corinthians. Acts, Romans, Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 7. The last part of the verse. For even Christ, our what? Passover is sacrificed what? In the past tense. To the children of Israel, the sprinkling of the blood, the eating of the flesh was the Lord's what? Passover. But unto us, we have something better, for it is Christ. Christ is our Passover. He is the one who was sacrificed what? For us. This is why Christ had to be the end of the law. Turn to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Let's see what Christ our Passover really accomplished for us. In verse 17, Himself took our infirmities, our sicknesses, as the text reads. Himself, Jesus Christ, took our sicknesses, our sins rather, and bare our sicknesses. Himself, Jesus Christ, I'm in Matthew 8:17. Himself, Jesus Christ, took our sins, and He bare our what? Sicknesses. Two things He did. He took our sins upon Himself, and He bore our what? Sicknesses. Ladies and gentlemen, if this microphone up here represented Christ, the literal record here in Matthew 8:17, Jesus Christ Himself took our sins, and He bore our sicknesses. Then your sins and mine, are they any longer upon us? Your sicknesses and mine, are they any longer upon us? He bore them. He took them. What a tremendous revelation. We have, for the most part, only taught one side of redemption, and that is that He took our sins, that He bore our sins. Like it says in Corinthians, He who knew no sin became sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. This is what we have lauded to the skies. This is what we have taught for the most part among Christian believers, which I call the teaching of only one side of redemption, and we have taught this at the expense of the other side, where He said He bore our sicknesses. In 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 24, listen to this, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, the cross, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were what? Healed. In the Old Testament, they looked forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those of us who live after the day of the resurrection and the day of the fullness of the Holy Spirit, we look back to it. By His stripes, we were, past tense, healed. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if I never manifested it in my life, as far as God is concerned, I was still healed in Christ Jesus. What a tremendous foundation. What a solid rock this puts under the believing of a son and daughter of God today. In Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Tonight you got to know your books of the Bible, don't you? Psalm 103. Verse 3. who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Again, sin, who forgiveth all, not 99 and 44 one-hundredth, but all, and not all soap, who forgiveth all thy sins, thine iniquities, who healeth all thy what? Ladies and gentlemen, we either have to say this is God's word, or we have to say God lied. It's either or. We do not dare to turn to the right or to what? The left. This is the declaration of the word. These are the word pictures from the word as to what God wrought for us in Christ Jesus when he who knew no sin became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God, who in his own self bore our sins, and by his stripes we were healed. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, listen to this tremendous record in verse 5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are what? Healed. Always two elements, always two things in the redemption. Like the flesh of the lamb, like the blood of the lamb. Always two things. The covering for sin and the covering for the consequences of sin, namely sickness. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, in verse 5, listen to this. When Jesus saw their faith, their believing, verse 5, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Verse 11, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. Again, two things Jesus declared, that his sins were gone, and that he'd take up his bed, his pallet, and go home healed. Always two in the word class. In Matthew chapter 4, in chapter 4, latter part of verse 23, talking about Jesus went about all Galilee, healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Was Jesus Christ doing God's will? Definitely. Therefore, if it would be God's will to send sickness and disease, then Jesus Christ went against God's will. And this Jesus could not do because Jesus was God's only begotten Son. He always did the will of the Father. In the Gospel of John, in chapter 19. Gospel of John, chapter 19. And in verse 7 of this chapter, the Jews answered him, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. In verse 6, going back up, when the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, crucify him. Crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. Here also in this 19th chapter, and I just can't see the verse, but here it talks about that Jesus Christ bore the cross. 17? Yes. And he bearing his cross went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. He, Jesus, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull. Remember we read that he is our Passover. Here it says, he bearing his cross. The cross Jesus Christ bore was not the wooden one, because the record in God's word says that the wooden cross was borne by Simon of Cyrene. that it was he who bore the cross to Calvary. But what cross did Jesus bear? The cross Jesus Christ bore is that he was our Passover. Everything that is upon us, he took upon himself. That was the cross he bore for you and for me. The great declaration, of course, is in that wonderful verse of Scripture in Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians 2:14, when he bore his cross, which is your sin and mine, your sickness and mine, he did what verse 14 says in Colossians 2, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. He, Jesus Christ, took it out of the way, nailing it to what? His cross. That explains his cross. His cross was that which he bore for us. He bore our sins and he bore our sicknesses. This was nailed to the cross. It was doubled. Our names written on the outside with anything against us. In the Gospel of Matthew, in chapter 26, listen to this record in verse 28. Matthew 26. And in verse 28, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of what? The blood was shed for many, all who believe. His blood was shed for their remission. And you know what remission is? Remission is for the unsaved sinner. When he gets saved, he gets remission. Everything up until that day is totally remitted. All sin is wiped away as far as the east is from the west and as deep as the deepest sea. And he will remember him no more. And that's what he's saying to us here in this 28th verse. Keep your finger here in Matthew, and I want you to look at something in John, which gives the other side of the redemption coin in a word picture in John chapter 6 and in verse 33. For the bread of God. In Matthew we were talking about the blood. Here we're talking about the bread of God. Is he, Jesus Christ, which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And in verse 35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of what? Life. I am the bread of life. He is both the bread of life for us and to us. He is also the shed blood to us and for us. This is why in Matthew, back there in chapter 26, it says in verse 26 of the 26th chapter, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. He is our Passover. He said, this is my body. He said, this is my cup. Verse 28, for this cup is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Always two things. From the very day that God instituted the Passover, before Moses led the children of Israel out, all the way through the Word of God up until this time. Now let's turn to a church epistle in 1 Corinthians. After the day of Pentecost addressed to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And verse 23, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Do it in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show, proclaim the Lord's death, what he accomplished for us until his return, until he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, and shall be guilty of the body, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, because they're not discerning the Lord's body, for this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep or die prematurely, as the text gives it. Why was the Corinthian church weak and sickly? Why were the people dying prematurely? The Word of God says that they were carnal Christians. In chapter 1 of Corinthians, in verse 10, the Word says, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment, same opinion. They were not all speaking the same thing. There were divisions among them. Because some said, well, we got a great Apollos here, or we got a great Cephas, we've got this following, we've got that following. That's why in chapter 3, and in verse 3 we read, for ye are yet carnal. Ye are yet carnal. Whereas there is among you envy and strife and division. Are you not carnal and walk as men? Not walking at all according to the revelation of God's word. The Christian church is well aware today of what the blood of Christ means to the believer. But they have failed to properly discern the Lord's body. The Passover of the Old Testament was the atonement of which the bread and cup are the token in the Church of Grace. In the Old Testament, it was the Lamb representing the flesh and the blood of that Lamb. In the Church of Grace, it is Christ who is our Passover, representing his flesh and his blood. That's why we read in 1 Corinthians 10:16, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Two things he is to us and for us. Remembering Exodus chapter 15:26, we have one of the seven redemptive names of God, namely the name Jehovah Rapha. In Malachi, I gave you the record that he said, I am the Lord, I change not. One of those seven redemptive names of God, there are only seven, one of them is found in Exodus 15:26, where he says, I am the Lord who healeth thee. In Hebrews 13:8, it says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and what? Forever. If the Lord changes not, if he is the one who heals us, and he set up the Lamb in the Old Testament for the children of Israel, he set up something much better for us, when he set up his only begotten Son as the Lamb of God who is to be slain from the foundation of the world. This is why Jesus Christ is called the Lamb of God. For he took upon himself that which formerly was represented by the Lamb in the children of Israel. He was the Lamb of God. He is the one who became sin. He is the one by his stripes we were and are healed. When we come to the table of the bread and cup, you never depend upon your own feeling, nor do you depend upon your own need. But you and I must come depending upon his word and what he wrought for us in Christ Jesus with believing. It is not just the doing of it. It's not just the doing of taking the bread and the cup. But as the word says, do this in remembrance of me. It's not the doing, it's doing it in remembrance. It's doing it in remembrance of what he accomplished for us. That's why he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do ye in remembrance of me. This is my blood, which is shed for you. This do ye in remembrance of me. It's in the remembrance thereof as to what God wrought in Christ that we bring to ourselves the deliverance not only from sin, but from the consequences of sin, sickness and disease. This is why he bore our sicknesses and he bore our sins. It is by his stripes that we were healed, and not by something that any other individual may have wrought. And ladies and gentlemen, we have these great truths in the same verse of Scripture. How can we boldly declare one and deny the other? For it is the same God who wrought this for us in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, the bread represents his broken body, and the cup represents his shed blood for the covering of our sins. And my friends, when we have our sins covered and cleansed within, when we have our sicknesses, the consequences of sin removed, we have redemption, the wholeness of that redemption which God gave to us in Christ Jesus our Lord.